Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Candy Calvert about her new book, Dressed to Kill. We're going to have a lot of fun with the titles of her books because she has really had fun with some of these words. But before we dive into this book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Candy. She is a former Californian and longtime nurse and quickly blames her quirky sense of humor on, quote, survival tactics learned in the trenches of the emergency room, end quote. Candy is a firm believer in love and laughter as the best medicine, as she found herself on the other side of the stethoscope when a serious equestrian accident broke her neck and made her a patient in her own emergency room. The inspirational account of her recovery sparked a story in Chicken Soup for the Nurse's Soul and was the official start of her writing career. Candy now combines her passions for cruise travel, emergency medicine, and snarky humor in her Darcy Kavanaugh mystery series, a series that she tags, quote, I love Lucy meets ER on the love boat to solve a murder, end quote. I love it. I love it. The first book, her first book, Dressed to Kill, this one, has just been selected as a winner in the 2006 Reader Views Literary Awards, and its sequel, I Do, A-Y-E, Do or Die, was released by Midnight Inc. in February, with a third coming out, My Tie to Murder, which is scheduled to launch this coming September. Candy now lives with her husband in the hill country of Texas, where, in addition to writing mysteries, she enjoys hiking, bird watching, country dancing, and cruise travel, of course. She continues to do her research for the Darcy Kavanaugh mysteries and finds herself often wearing sequins, sipping mojitos, and chicken dancing in shipboard discos worldwide. Really grueling research, but someone's got to do it, and she is dedicated. Candy, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Gail. It's great to be here.
Well, it is a delight to have you here, and what fun to find out that we're so close to each other here in the Hill Country.
That's true.
Well, listen, as we get underway here, what a fun series you've started here. Tell the audience a little bit of the essence of the series as well as the storyline behind Dressed to Kill, and talk about your play on words.
Well, I did have fun with nautical terms.
I can see that.
When I pitched it to the editorial board at Midnight Inc., I had to explain, actually, each one, and I had to talk about keel as the dual meaning of keel on a ship and keel over and dressed to kill, as in Darcy does love her clothes and
uh-huh.
that sort of thing. So basically, Dressed to Kill is the story of a 30-something feisty redheaded emergency room nurse who has a bit of burnout both in her career and in her failed romance.
Mm-hmm.
So she decides to join her best friend, who is a shipboard nurse, and sail off on a New England fall foliage cruise and just kind of get her life back together. But, of course, because we need conflict, there are a series of jewel thefts happening on this ship. And when her best friend gets accused of these thefts and a subsequent murder, Darcy dives in to vindicate her friend, complicated by the fact that, of course, there's a very handsome dance host aboard the ship who has been flirting with all of the victims, and he's her prime target.
Mm-hmm. And he has a story of his own. As a matter of fact, now you have several main characters, but of course, Darcy is your main character, and she's the one. This is a Darcy Kavanaugh mystery series.
That's right.
Really. And so she's obviously your heroine in all of your books. What about some of the other characters, most especially the dashing young man?
Okay, the dashing young man is Luke Schuyler. I can't reveal entirely his, unless you want me to, his relationship to the story. He is her prime suspect in Dressed to Kill, and does become the hero, and he goes on in the next two books, so you know that he is vindicated.
He lives on.
He lives on.
What about Marcy?
About Marie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Her best friend is Marie Whitley.
Right.
She is a fellow nurse, and she serves as sort of a slightly older mentor of Darcy's, and she has a wacky sense of humor. She collects crazy socks, and she smokes little cherry cigars. So that's always a factor.
And does she continue on in
She continues on, too.
Great, great, great. Well, now, you are a long-time emergency room nurse. Tell us, I mean, I realize that you had this terrible accident and you had your own survival story, and which, in fact, won an award. How did you become inspired to start writing?
You know, just like every writer will tell you, I'm sure, Gail, I've always loved writing. It's been a passion, but I put that aside for a very long time while I raised my family and was an emergency room nurse. I did the 12-hour shifts. It doesn't leave a lot of room for writing. But after my accident, I think when you go through something like that, you start to think about your priorities, and you know, you may wonder, you know, why is it that I was spared? I really felt that I had a calling to do some writing, and I plunged into it. The chicken soup story was actually written at the request of my pastor, and was an inspirational story, and after that was published, I'm going to tell you, I just got hooked.
Oh,
and
wow.
I decided I was actually awarded as part of a big nursing award a chance to go on my first cruise.
Ooh.
So, yes, it was. I sort of got continuing education credits for drinking pina coladas and laughing. It was a humor seminar.
Oh, how fun.
It was very rough. But I enjoyed that so much, and I thought about how uplifting humor is, and I decided to combine cruising and humor and what I knew, which was medicine, and took a lot of little things out of a later cruise and turned them into the first Darcy Kavanagh mystery.
Well, you certainly have a lot of different kinds of stories to draw on and information to use as you write stories like these.
Oh, absolutely. There are characters everywhere, but on cruise ships, people are free to kind of let go, and your characters just walk on board.
Mm-hmm. That's very true, very true. And I love the spin, and we don't want to give it away. I mean, this is a mystery series, and we want the listeners to be intrigued and go buy the books and read them.
Yes, we do.
And follow Darcy Kavanagh as she travels throughout her various cruises.
That's right, and each cruise was based on one that I've taken, and you know, as you said in the introduction, my research is grueling, but I managed to climb that gangway.
Yeah, someone has to do it, right?
That's right.
That is too funny. Well, now, Candy, in your story, of course, you weave into it a lot of realities of life. Burnout is a big reality of life,
yes.
Especially in today's environment. People are so overworked, and they're so tired. And I don't know that many people feel they have the luxury of being able to just take off and go on a cruise and maybe try to regenerate.
Right. Well, that was part of the reason that I've done this. Certainly, well, for everybody that feels burned out and needs some R&R, and especially my fellow medical people, they're the true heroes in my opinion. And being able to provide some fictional R&R for them is huge for me. I hear from nurses and doctors and many other people about, you know, getting on board with Darcy Kavanagh is like a little vacation. I'm real proud of that, and I'm really pleased to be doing that.
So maybe they just have to drive 100 miles or so away and go lay up on a beach somewhere or on a farm porch somewhere and just kick back with a good book.
That'll work.
Now, how did you come up with Darcy Kavanagh?
Well, Darcy, I think she's kind of an everyman sort of woman.
Okay.
She's 30-ish, and she has career doubts and self-doubts. I wanted to make her very human and very universal. I think those are things that we all struggle with. Because she's a nurse, I can certainly identify with that. And she's feisty and overly responsible, and she's prone to macaroni and cheese.
I love that part.
Get really bad. And I think most people can relate to those feelings.
Oh, absolutely.
But she's still, even though she's a realist, she still has that hope that someday down the line she's going to find a happy ending of her own. And so I think that's also universal, and I created her to kind of encompass all of that and be somebody that a reader can relate to.
Well, I like that. And so, you know, even though there's a strong attraction between her and Luke, and that at least those two characters, if not several more of your initial book, seem to show up in the rest of your sequels or your series. Do they not come together?
Yes, they do.
It ends in a
teaser at the end of the first book, but there is a definite character arc for all three of those main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship grows, and Darcy has to accept a lot of things about herself before she's ready to feel that she can trust and risk a relationship. So that's part of a growth process, and I think that's important whether you're writing mystery or romance or something, you know, terribly serious. That you do show growth in your characters. And
absolutely.
I've strived to do that, even though basically my books are a great escape.
Good.
You don't need to take them seriously, but you will see the characters grow.
Well, and absolutely mimicking life itself.
That's exactly what I intend to do.
And Candy, you've deliberately picked onboard cruise ships as the location for this series. Why? Why does this particular setting appeal to you?
Well, you know, not only do I think cruise travel is fabulous, and it's, in you know, my opinion, the best vacation, it's also an interesting little microcosm of life. Aboard ship, it becomes a floating home, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for the week or two, or, you know, if some people go around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you're basically on board with a community. You've make relationships. There are people you don't like. There are people you cluster close to. But in a mystery sense, there's that great feeling of being trapped aboard.
Oh, wow.
A killer walks among us.
And
I think that adds to the intrigue. And plus, I mean, it's great fun. There are, you know, just it becomes a home. You know, you're in the disco one night, and you're in the spa, and every little place is a great, unique setting aboard this floating play.
And you have really had fun using those various settings
as
scenes, crime scenes.
Yeah.
Too funny, too funny. And now your books also, I mean, they include intrigue, romance, betrayal, murder, and love, and humor.
That's the gamut.
How did you weave all that in? How do you weave all that into these stories?
Well, I try to make them as close to life as you can. I think that, you know, if you look at any story, any good story, it's got some of those elements. Everybody's life has those elements. I try to do that. I always go for the happy ending. I never kill anybody that you haven't wanted to kill yourself for at least two chapters.
How fun.
And I like to wind it up with a happy ending. I probably from my years in ER, things were pretty gritty and pretty real there. And
they really were.
Yes, and I want to make people laugh. I want them to escape, and I want them to believe in a happy ending. So I try to weave all of that throughout the books to make it enjoyable.
Well, that's terrific. And of course, you know, I know that some people, I don't know, they're a little leery of happy endings because they just don't feel like life mimics happy endings. But of course, that's really more reflective of their own personal experiences and their own personal mindset, I think.
I think that's true. You know, I'm an eternal optimist. I'm sometimes people find that irritating. I personally I believe in humor. I believe in the glass being half full. And I think that a positive attitude is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
So with my humor and with my least glimmer of a happy ending, I think I'm providing what even a cynical person hopes is out there.
Deep down inside, I think that's what everyone hopes for, regardless of how willing they are to admit that.
Sometimes that's all that keeps you going. I mean, I've seen that in my career, and I've certainly seen it in different phases of my life. And certainly when my accident happened, you have to believe something good is possible and that there is light at the end of the tunnel, or you just can't go on. And that sounds heavy, but in my book, it's there's a lot of, you know, humor and lightness and plain old silliness.
Well, and that's wonderful. And what I do want to emphasize here with respect to what you're saying is what I believe to be a very real truism, and that is that whatever you really focus your mental energy on is what will happen. If you choose to believe in all the negativity in your life or in your surroundings, then that's what you're going to be faced with more often than not. If you choose to believe that there is something positive that can come from even a tragedy, then that's what will happen.
We are very like-minded, Gail. That's about as true as it gets as far as I'm concerned.
And you're a walking demonstration of that. I mean, my Lord, a broken neck.
I broke even more things than my neck.
I bet you did. I bet you did. And I bet many of us can remember when a broken neck meant death.
Right. Well, the neurosurgeon said maybe another millimeter or so.
Uh-huh.
So
uh-huh.
I'm very, very blessed, and I want to carry that spirit forward. There are so many people that suffer, but there are positive, like you said, there are positive things that come out of even dark and sad things, and I'm all for going with the positive and add some humor and big old hug. And yes. I hope my books do that for people.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's not to downplay. It's not to encourage people not to have their grieving processes or their sadnesses or their even their angers and frustrations. It's not to say don't have those feelings or those reactions to situations. Just don't get stuck there.
That's right. Getting stuck there is the worst thing you can do,
yeah.
in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I see that Darcy Kavanaugh struggles with this. She's had a failed romance. She's watching her beloved grandmother suffer with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some actual real human problems there. And she struggles with moving forward from these things. And I think, again, that's something that the reader can relate to.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And no, it may not always be possible to pick a cruise to get away from it,
no.
But there are ways to put a little distance between you and what's going on so you can gain a different perspective on it.
That's true.
Well, now, Candy, there's an underlying message in Dress to Kill, isn't there?
Yeah, I do attempt to do that, and I think in Dress to Kill, as in all three of the books, we have an underlying theme of acceptance, accepting yourself for who you are with, mm-hmm. your flaws and your strengths,
mm-hmm.
And then accepting others,
mm-hmm.
For their unique qualities. I'm a big proponent of that. Again, goes with that positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But Darcy, she struggles with those things. She struggles with real doubts about her career in the first book, and certainly about relationships after she's been betrayed. And she holds back when she's feeling vulnerable. And so you watch her progress with, mm-hmm. this accepting herself and then being able to accept love further down the line. So I think that growth process of acceptance is key in these books.
Well, growth and healing as well.
That's right.
She had to go through some healing as a result of discovering that she'd been betrayed by her love.
Mm-hmm.
And other evidence of acceptance is in terms of her best friend, Marie, who is a lesbian.
That's right.
But they're best friends.
They're best friends. And yet
Darcy is a heterosexual.
Absolutely. They're true best friends. And,
mm-hmm.
and ironically, Darcy says somewhere in the first book that because she's coming from, her parents had a broken marriage, and everybody, most people she's known have had struggles in that respect, and,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds ironic, but she feels that her best friend and her partner are probably one of the more stable, traditional couples that she's known.
Well, and why not?
And she in her little heart of hearts, she's hoping that someday she'll find love and acceptance the way that her best friend and her partner have. So
right.
It's unique. That's a unique take on things, but again, that's part of accepting, and
exactly.
And I think it adds an interesting element to the book.
I do too. And again, on the other titles, I love them. It's My Tie to Murder. This is as in My Tie the Drink. My Tie. I love this. My
yeah.
Tie to Murder.
And it's also her tie to murder, because
uh-huh.
because on in that third book, which is Caribbean set, Darcy and Marie are teaching a Nurse's Guide to Murder workshop to a group of writers, mystery writers and romance writers and a terrible evil agent and several editors and all of these writings, even the male cover models, those romance models.
Oh, how funny.
And so they're teaching this. And so because her outline is suddenly being used for a series of attacks and eventually murder,
wow.
that becomes her tie to murder. So it's as if my tie to murder, and also the victim is always swilling my tie. So there are several play on words.
How funny
in that one.
And that one's coming out in September.
Yes, that will be September.
Okay, and the one now, Dress to Kill is out.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. I Do or Die.
I
A Y E.
Right. That's the nautical I, and also it's a wedding cruise.
I saw that.
So it's I Do or Die, and which of course somebody does. So that one has just been released the 1st of February.
Okay, great. That is wonderful. And then, and you're working on, I love this one too, Decked Out to Die.
That's correct. That one will be an Alaskan Inside Passage cruise.
Yeah,
so.
And I've done that cruise. It's beautiful.
It is. It's wonderful.
It is. Well, Candy, we're getting close to running out of time here. And before we do, though, please tell the audience your website.
It is www.candycalvert.com.
And that's C-A-N-D-Y. C-A-L-V is in Victor, E-R-T.
That's correct.
.com.
Right.
Wonderful. And where can they go to purchase this book and your others?
At all major bookstores and also online at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Great, great. And I want everyone to know that this interview will be posted to Candy's author's page on www.InsideScoopLive.com and her website, CandyCalvert.com, and readreviews.com will also have links to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing all of these books. They sound like a wonderful edition, and I can't wait to get my copies of these to read. Candy, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much. I've loved being here.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.